Hello and welcome back. It's In The Know, brought to you by The Racing Post. It's exciting times. It's the 28th of July. We're on the cusp of not only glorious Goodwood, we've already started Galway, and of course, the football season is on the horizon as well. And there you go, the big kickoff available right now. And we'll be chatting to Lengo later on the show as well to get a few angles. I'm sure you've got plenty of opinions on that. I'm sure you've got plenty of opinions on glorious Goodwood as well. 5 days of fantastic racing, nail-biting finishes, and a variety of swear words as your horses find all the trouble going. But that is the joy of glorious Goodwood, isn't it? We are off to the downs, but hopefully we'll be on the ups, starting off on day one with Dorset going to Sussex for the vintage. We've got Illinois popping over as well for the Goodwood Cup. 8 runners and plenty of improvers in there too. And of course, look forward to this week, Field of Gold. Another jockey, potentially another win. Is he a generational talent in the miling ranks? Hopefully, we will find out far short this week. We'll also have a generational battle in the Nassau. World versus Cedar Fire will hopefully be taking place as well. We've got the Stewards' Cup. We've got wide open sprint group races, two-year-old races, and handicaps up and down the cards as well. It's going to be great. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. Or at least, like I said, that's what I'm saying now. Ask me on Thursday night, and we'll see how we're going. But we are live and interactive as ever, and we want you to get involved on the chat as ever too. So good evening to Stacey Dawson, to Frank Fortune, to Stephen Buckley, to Dave Henderson, Trevor Clark, the Bucky Swoe, Cheltenham Master, and Ben Purvis, and Frank Fortune. No pressure. First comment, please give lots of winners. Right. Thanks, Frank. We were thinking about not doing that, but now you've said it, let's go. Keels, it's Goodwood.
Yeah, absolutely. Far happier talking about this than I am football, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. You've no idea what you're talking about.
Listen, I was deputy sports editor for years at the Racing Post, and we produced that pullout every single year, and I wasn't allowed near it. I wasn't even allowed to proofread it because I wouldn't be able to spot anything. Know nothing about football.
No, but you've got your eye in on pretty much every other sport, I think. So that's all right.
No, I'm only racing now.
You're just a racing man. Fair enough. All right, stripped it back. Yeah, you're a purist now. You're a purist. Glorious Goodwood is your
I'd like to touch the nearest piece of wood, obviously, but I love Goodwood. Historically, I've done better there than most of the other festivals, and so let's hope it continues.
Part of the reason is because it is chock full of big field, very difficult handicaps, which are your favourite.
Yeah,
kind of
I love handicaps, but for some reason I've done better here than I have at some of the other ones, particularly Ascot, which hasn't been my best over the last few years. So,
no.
So I always look forward to Goodwood. I love it. I don't know whether that gets in your mindset as well, and you just see things better. I don't know.
You play with confidence, as it were.
I don't worry too much about luck in running. You know, you're going to get some good, some bad. But yeah, just.
Because it makes it easier to take almost, doesn't it? Because you're expecting it from the get-go.
Yeah.
So you just rule that out completely. Yeah. Whereas at Ascot, it is frustrating when, again, even at the weekend, time and time again, you're thinking, why don't you go there at Goodwood? You know exactly.
Well, as we were saying before, what was going on with Sword on? Why did he switch to the inside on Sword? Why didn't he just come up the rail where he was?
Yeah.
But
at Goodwood, you know where they're going to come.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, sometimes you go and try and get up the inside, you'll get there. Other times you'll just get stopped.
Yeah.
And they'll come shooting down the outside, as they so often do.
So do you also think it's partly that you do well because it's getting to that time of the season now where all the form lines are pretty much baked in? You're well warmed up by now.
I think I'm well warmed up, but I'm normally well warmed up from being wrong a lot of the time. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
So
I don't know why, to be honest. Like, you know, I've no idea, but you know, I've come in, you know, I was in pretty good form last week. Let's just hope it continues for another week at least.
Yeah, all right. 5 days of glorious Goodwood. And Tom Siegel will be joining us for most of them as well. And Tom, yeah, we've... we've got some high-quality stuff coming up this week. And so far, the decks for the group races are standing up strong.
Yeah, perhaps. I don't know. I leave Goodwood to the experts. I mean, I love it. I think it's great racing, really competitive stuff most of the time. It's not one of the ones I circle in the calendar and say this is the one I'm going to really, really target because it just doesn't suit my style. I think there's certain... Look, we all have our own temperaments, our own ways of looking at things. I'm not a draw, a pace man, and Goodwood is a draw and pace con. Maybe I'm looking too much into it. Mm. Maybe Keels is spot on. Maybe I try too hard to hit the stereotypes rather than doing what I do best. which is just try and find the fastest horse. So maybe that's why.
I'll tell you what, let's not do that, Tom. I'm doing it now. I'm staging an intervention. Yeah. Let's from here on in.
That's my plan. My plan is just to tip the fastest horse. Yeah. And not worry about it. And if they get stopped, they get stopped to move on. You know, I'm interested in Galway. I love Galway too. I mean, to be perfectly honest, my biggest betting races this week will be all at Galway rather than Goodwood. But that's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah, but that's also partly because again, most punters over here won't be looking at it, which again gives you a bit more of an edge, I imagine. I'm not saying not looking at it, but you know what I mean. It can. If you didn't have Goodwood, everyone would be looking at Galway. So it's at least split the focus.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I think you have a better chance at Galway. I really do. I think there's plenty of good bets over there. You know, it's what suits your eye, isn't it? It's like you know these golfers. Steve Palmer. I think he had another winner this week. So, you know, he's very good at spotting which player suits which course. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how he does it. And Keels' eye suits Goodwood. Mine, not so much. I like Ascot. Ascot has got no problems for me whatsoever. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
But Goodwood and me don't have... Over the years, listen, the straight track, of course, races on straight tracks have always done really well at. I've had loads of Stewart's Cup winners over the years. But it's just those round ones I find a bit tricky. So hopefully that will change this week.
Yeah. I mean, I do think as well, Keels, I mean, obviously it might be whether you do it overtly or not. But I remember it was when we were talking about Epsom early in the season. There are just some jockeys who are unbelievable at the tricky tracks like Goodwood. And there are some jockeys who just aren't very good at all at tricky tracks like that. And I do think it helps. I'm extra confident if there's a Buick or a Murphy, for example, in the saddle.
Yeah, I agree. There are definitely some jockeys that are much better than others when it comes to these tricky tracks.
And weirdly...
It's funny, isn't it? It's funny, Ross, because Kieran Fallon, who I think is the best jockey I've ever seen, was terrible at Goodwood. And he'd tell you he was terrible at
Goodwood. Yeah, he hated it. Yeah.
Absolutely hated it. And he was the best jockey I've ever seen. He wasn't the best jockey I've ever seen, but he was the best jockey for 10 years straight. He was Brian Morris.
But he was a very, he's a strong, forceful jockey. And I don't think Goodwood necessarily suits, it doesn't suit force, does it? It suits kind of candidates. Well, I mean, I was looking back at jockeys last 25 years. The jockeys have ridden a lot. I mean, obviously, he was riding very good horses. But Johnny Murta has the best strike rate of all the top jockeys in group races and just in general. I think it's 20 winners from 90 runners, 50% of them in the frame. And again, when you think of Johnny Murta in terms of the way he would ride horses, you think, oh yeah, that makes sense. Buick, I feel like, does it do it differently though, Tom? I feel like he's not a Richard Hughes / a Johnny Murta. But what Buick, I think, has is a fantastic sense of timing. And that's what you need at Goodwood. He knows when to kick. And what gets you beat a lot of the time at Goodwood is going too soon.
Yeah. I mean, I think Buick and Murta seem quite similar to me. They're sort of unflappable characters, aren't they?
Mm.
Who sort of probably weren't sitting there worrying about where they are or what they're going to do. Kieran, for example, he'd be thinking about every race before he came. And Kieran used to love sitting one back on the rail, didn't he?
Mm.
That was his default position at every other race course. At Goodwood, that is the worst position you can be in.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly. Because if they've gone too fast, you never get past the front one. If they've gone too slow, you never get past the front runner. If they've gone too fast, you have no chance from there. And so it's just what it is. It's just what it is. I described it the other day as like a running the 800 meters at the Olympics on a BMX track. You know, you're sort of up and down round hills. Maybe the best horse isn't going to win every time. But as Keels always points out, there's more gambles landed at Goodwood than anywhere else. So someone works it out, just not me.
Yeah, and one more thing as well, which I think, again, we said Yorkshire trainers, weirdly, especially in sprints, but Carl Burke's got an incredible strike rate. John and Sean Quinn, every single year seems to land one. You know, Kevin Ryan, Michael Dodds. The Johnstons.
David O'Mara has three of the first five in the Golden Mile pretty much every year, isn't he?
Yeah.
And
you couldn't, I mean, I don't know, what I'm trying to think what it would be from sort of Malton and Midland to Goodwood, but what, 5-6 hours probably?
Do you know what it is, Ross? I think it's just slightly lower quality. And what I mean by that, it's not Ascot. Do you know what I mean? And it's not Sandown. And it's just the Goodwood handicaps are just a slightly lower quality, I always find, than perhaps the York meetings, the Ascot meetings.
Although, to be fair, one of the chats was Basil Pine Nuts, which is
I like that.
It's beautiful. I mean, first of all, it's a great name. And one, I want to eat some basil pine nuts right now. That'd be lovely. It says an undulating track form carries over Beverly Carlisle. Maybe that's it, because you've got your Hamiltons, you've got your Carlisles, you've got your Beverleys. Maybe there's a lot more tricky northern tracks that that horses are getting those handicap marks on.
Yeah, could be. Could easily be.
Yeah. Anyway. That's all the reasons why we might find some winners or might get beat this this week. So let's get stuck in, shall we? I think it's probably about time we got stuck in to Goodwood. We'll be hearing from David Jennings every night this week as well. He'll be giving us some from Galway angles, but that'll be coming up a little bit later on. And like I said, get involved in the chat. Put your best bets in capital letters so they stand out from the general chit chat, and I'll try and read out as many as possible. Right, the Chesterfield Cup starts us off tomorrow, the traditional 10 furlong opener. It's always a really, really hot race, but this year in particular seems pretty warm. Some certainly some unexposed types at the top of the betting. Castle Cove for William Haggis is 7-2. Defiance for Roger Varied is 4-1. Jolly Jack Tar for the Gosdens at 6s. And then we jump out to Tony Montana and Massoon at 9-1. Ancient Roman 11-1. Grey Cuban at 12-1 with Take Heart. And then bigger prices the rest, including the likes of the quirky but talented Westridge, recently bouncing back English Oak, and also your Carl Burks with Bolster, and a horse called Nakib, of which I don't know if anyone's fancied Nakib at all this this season. But, Keels, speaking of Nakib, the John Smith's Cup is normally your springboard to this this race, and there's only a couple of horses out of it, and he's one of them.
He is one of them. Didn't run as well as I'd hoped at York.
Weird race.
Maybe he doesn't particularly like York, because a few of his runs have been bad there. But
yeah.
I'm sure he'll run his normal, honest race. I worry that there's one or two much better handicapped, and the quite obvious one is Castle Cove. I think he deserves to be clear favourite. I don't like backing 7-2 shots and 80 minor handicaps. I will probably have a save on him anyway to make sure I don't lose if he does, because he was so impressive at Chester on his return, drawn 13 of 13, raced last, raced wide, came right round the field, won hands and heels by a length and three quarters from a runner-up. We beat the rest by 3 lengths. I actually think the jockey on the runner-up thought he was going to for an easy win until this thing sauntered past him. And of course, the runner-up went up 2 pounds and then won by 4 1/4 lengths next time, and is running in here, Grey Cuban, and is actually £2 worse off for being beat pointless. And he's about 4 for 5th fab as well.
Yeah.
You know, so Castle Cove is up £8. He's a half-brother. That was soft ground, but he's a half-brother to Lilac Road, who was a group winner and was about as ground versatile as you could get. There's literally no more than a pound between her best form on good to firm and soft. So there's every chance that it'll handle the ground.
She was third in the Nassau as well.
Yeah, exactly. So she had a bit of course form. So there's loads to like about him other than the price in a massive field when you know trouble is likely. So yes, I will have a saver on him. I thought the best value of the ones of the others was Massoon for Joseph O'Brien, who must have the biggest string of any trainer in Britain or Ireland. He's had 22 winners from 70 runners in the past fortnight. He's absolutely flying at the moment. And Massoon's flying himself as well. He's on a roll, and I like the fact that, you know, his last three handicap wins have come in fields of 18, 12 and 14. So he's got plenty of big field handicap form. Also like the way he burst through a very tight gap at the Curragh under Elizabeth Gale last time, and one going away. It just looks like he's going forwards. Obviously, he's up in the weights and doesn't have a £7 claim by this time, so he has more to do.
He also has, again, remains to be seen, but a lot of the very good horses are drawn very wide. It'd be interesting to see how he navigates box one.
Yeah, I mean, historically, a wide draw has been no bar to success in this race before, but you have had winners from low draws as well, including stall one. So I don't worry too much about the draw on the round course until Friday.
Yeah.
That's when they
the golden mile.
They take the and then track 22 and it becomes goes a lot and wins tighter. It.
And then 22, yeah, yeah. 22 yeah, comes then, all the way around. Yes, yeah. Well, this is the thing, isn't it? I think it's worth pointing out. I'm not going too deep into it, Tom, but I do think it's worth pointing out. Tell you what, finish your case on Massoon and then we'll go back to that.
Yeah, I've virtually had. I mean, he's just a 4-year-old going forwards, isn't he? And he won very well. Last time going away over a mile and one. This is a mile and two. Mile and two last time. Yeah.
Okay.
Just like him, progressive.
I think I'm just going to say the difference that I think, Tom, when we're talking about draw on straight tracks versus going around a bend, is the main thing draw gives you when you're on a bend is track position, doesn't it? I mean, straight tracks, it's a completely different thing. But box one here, suddenly I guess your decision is, right, do I rush this horse up and possibly do too much, or do I just take my medicine? And if you take your medicine, you have 17 horses swamping you. So it's more, it almost gives you, if you're drawn a little bit wide, it gives you a bit more time to make a decision.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think about Massoon, you just need luck from one, don't you? You just need luck. You need the gaps to open. You might get them. You could easily get them. Keels might be right. But this is, I reckon, of all the races in the calendar over the years since I've started betting, which is nearly 40 years ago, this is the race I've lost more money on than any other. Undoubtedly. Because you get excited for Goodwood. You get excited for Goodwood every year. You think Goodwood's coming along. Let's have a crack at the first race, the one, you know, the big field handicap. And I never find the winner, ever. I can't remember ever finding the winner. So I'm giving it the complete swerve. It's not for me. Castle Cove is very interesting, but he's one for my Camelot theory, Roth. He was impressive on his debut last year. Went up to Redcar and was thrashed in even money in a rubbish old Redcar novice race after looking really good on his debut. And now he's come back looking really good at Chester again. Is he going to repeat it? I don't know. He might do. I mean, I've sort of given up on that Camelot theory after Blue Stocking and Luxembourg and a few others. But he did do that last year. He definitely did that last year. So that would be my slight concern with him. Defiance is sort of one of those... He's another one of those black hole horses, isn't he, as I describe them. He sucks you in, Defiance, and he's not big enough price to get... He's never going to be a big enough price to make it worthwhile.
And I have no idea. Again, these horses, that they win a maiden, then Group 2 listed, Group 2 handicap. And my brain's like, so I can't work out how good this horse is. I don't know if he's thrown in or overrated. And like you said, that's fine if I'm backing it at 16s, but at 4s, maybe not.
At fours, yeah, I don't know. I thought Tony, my old friend, say hello to my little friend Tony Montana, might run all right. He runs all right. He ran all right in the race last year. He ran really well behind Thunder Run up at York. I think the drop back to a mile didn't suit him last time. Just like the type of horse that could run really well. In Ancient Rome, I see, has been a few quid around for him, and he won the race a couple of years ago, did he? 33-1 shot a couple of years ago. He could go well, and Tate Hart won it last year. Yeah. Tate Hart. You remember Tate Hart? You probably don't, Ross. Keels will remember
Tate
Hart.
I do. Tony Hart.
Tony Hart with his painting show.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you, we will remember.
I tell you what, later on on Thursday, we do have Morph in the studio. Morph.
There we go. So I'll tell you who will remember it, and that's Basil Pinenut.
Basil Pinenut. I believe he was executive producer on the show.
Exactly, yeah.
He's director general of the BBC. Tate Hart, though, I genuinely think has a huge chance. He's the only winner of this race I have found, actually, because he came from the John Smith's Cup from a bad draw last year. Remember when we were following the horses from high draws, he'd run really well. That Chester race last time out, I would say he was... I don't know. He was thinking of other things, perhaps. Days in the future, I would say. I thought he would go for the John Smith's Cup. The weird one is he switched yards to Devin Manoussier from Johnny Merton, which is a little bit odd, but drawn 15, Kieran Schumacher, who does have a really good record around Goodwood, he's used to these those tricky southern tracks, and I thought he at 12-1 was the each way play.
Yeah, could be. He could easily be. Yeah, I mean, I don't. He's same owners, isn't it? So maybe they're targeting, you know, British. Maybe the one thought he might be better suited to British style racing. I don't know, but it seemed that way last year, didn't it? He ran two crackers in York and Goodwood, so maybe that's the reason they brought him over. I thought Grey Cuban could run all right as well. He's just sort of tactically versatile, I thought, Grey Cuban, and he's the type of horse that people will not like because of the £2 worse off for getting thrashed last time. But he's just very solid and comes from, as we saw on Saturday, a stable in very good form.
I was going to say, Hugo Palmer in rattling form, Oshin Murphy and Goodwood as well. It's a good combo. Anyway, so that's half the field at Goodwood. But that's why it's such a tough race. Castle Cove, the 7-2 favourite. You, Keels, are going for?
I'm going to back Massoon each way against him.
Okay, fair enough. I'll go for Tate Hart. And Tom...
Pony Montana. Always Tony Montana. Love the name.
Okay, lovely stuff. Basil Pinenut and Tony Montana. Jordan Isaac is going for Tate Hart as well. And we had a big... There we go. Steve in big aquamarine as said in big letters. Right, that stands out. That really does. Grey Cube in the Palmer and Murphy strike rate. Lovely stuff. So, right, we better move on then to the vintage stakes, the 155, the 7 furlong contest for the two-year-olds. This is a Group 2. And Dorset has got lost on the way. And ended up at Goodwood. 7-4, Humidity 9-2, Zavateri 6-1, Andab 15-2, Do or Do Not is 8-1, Laureate Crown is 11-1, Goodwood Galaxy 16s, Morris Dancer is 20s, and Gama Sutra is the outsider of the bunch, admittedly for a trainer who's got a very good record in this race in the shape of Richard Hanna, obviously a race that the family have done well within the past, but unsurprisingly, it is Dorset at the top of the betting. In the absence of a Charlie Appleby runner in this, who's got an excellent record in the vintage. Tom, obviously the next best is always going to be a Ballydoyle runner. Dorset, that second time of day is Mozart. Obviously, we haven't seen him since. He's been talked up as the second coming. And then last time out, I got the feeling that everything in behind was happy to just let him get on with things and didn't want to get anywhere near him. Again, how good is he and should he be this short?
Don't know and probably not is the answer to those. He could be very good. He's bred Wooden Bassett out of Snowflakes, isn't he? He's bred to be very good. I don't seem to remember them running. I think Duke of Marmalade might have won this race, but I don't seem to remember them running their very best in this. Now, I could be mistaken on that. And it's just, I don't know. It just seems a strange spot for him. They do run horses in this, and they run them a lot. But he's had a couple of winners in it. But don't know about Dorset for me. The one I want to win is Gama Sutra. What a great name! Much better than Dorset, isn't it?
Is it better? Yeah, oh, that is good. To be fair, that is good.
That is good, isn't it?
That's nice.
So I'd like him to run well. Foss Lass, I thought he was impressive there the other day, but in the end, I thought that, despite his penalty, the winner that you all told us was that won at Newmarket the other day, Zavateri or whatever it's called, might run well again. I thought he was really impressive that day. I thought Do or Do Not sort of picked up the pieces late on. They went very hard there. And he got racing a long way out, Zavateri, and he kept on well. I think the 7 furlong will suit him. It's got a £3 penalty. I think that traditionally has been quite hard to overcome in this race. But I think he's got as good a form as anything. I think he's got the best form for me, and I think he'll go well. I could throw in Andab. Don't know about Humidity. I'd like you guys' opinion on Humidity. Looks like a good horse. Not sure he is. Don't know.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the second's at the form line. The worry for me with Humidity is I think he is a good horse, but this race can be turned into quite a burn up Keels, and if he's ridden as prominently as he has been on those two races so far, he could be the hare for the greyhounds.
Yeah,
you're
going to
disagree with me.
Well, I'm not necessarily disagree with you. I mean, it's a race. If I have an interest, it'll be a tiny one. It's not my sort of race, but I just quite like the way he went about it. He just kept finding more at Ascot. And if you find more at Ascot, as long as you don't overdo it at Goodwood, I mean, he it might be hard to pass again. I mean, it all depends on what takes him on, doesn't it? But he's been pestered both times he's run, and he's won both times. He keeps finding a little bit more. Like I said, I mean, we know that Dorset could be anything, but it doesn't, you know, given the ones that Aidan O'Brien has won this with, he hasn't won it with a superstar.
No, in fact, well, I mean, the best, he won it with Highland Reel a few years ago, but obviously he took...
Yeah, he took a while to become a star,
didn't
he?
Last 10 years, he's only won it with Battleground.
Battleground, he was a Cheshire winner. And looked really good, but didn't really go on.
No, was he favourite for the Guineas next year? And very disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the way Andrew Baldwin talks about Humidity, particularly after Ascot, you know, I think you think he's a Guineas horse, etc. He's obviously, you know.
Does he remind you of Chaldean Keels?
He does a little bit. Yeah, he just finds, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I never thought Chaldean was much, and then he kept winning.
Mm. Yeah, he just finds. So I quite like him. He'd be my selection if pushed for one. But like I said, it's not a race that I'm really going to have a punt in.
I'd also say, to be fair, a lot of the time, you get a couple of good winners of this race, but to be a bit nuts actually helps, I think, in this contest. It is one of those contests. If you're a 7 furlong, 2-year-old rattling around Goodwood, you've got to be a bit nuts, I think. Mm. Laureate Crown. You're talking about trackers, and you know, we've talked so many times. You can put stats and draw biases and all that, Tom. You know, the way you look at races is my favourite way to look at it as well. When you've got the time to really dig into it, is to watch the replays back and find the horses that knock your eyes out. And look, last to first at Ascot is a Spencer Special normally, but I mean, this horse did it in second gear. It was a really strong time. He's drawn one, so it could be tricky, but surely you know what's going to happen. Spencer's going to switch him off the back. Palmer's in fantastic form. He's won this race recently, hasn't he, Hugo Palmer? And I don't know, I thought that was a very impressive debut.
Yeah, Galileo Gold won it, didn't he, for Hugo Palmer? Listen, the one thing I'd say is the owners, the Hayes, they love Goodwood. Mm. They get everything they can to run at Goodwood. If you see, they've got loads of runners tomorrow, all over the shop. This one, I spoke to a few of the bookies when I was asking them about which races they were going to do today, and a few of them told me there's been sniffs around for Laureate Crown, which interested me, because I thought Stall One was going to, if he's ridden the same way, was leaving him a hostage to fortune. Mm. But he was a big enough price not to worry about that. He's still 11-1 there, I see. So I could see it. Yeah, he was impressive. It was definitely impressive. And the Hannans had quite liked their horse that was second in that race. So, yeah, I wouldn't throw him out.
And, of course, second in this last year was Wolf of Badenoch, who won on debut for Hugo Palmer in the Fitchery Hay Silks and was ridden into second by Jamie Spencer. So, okay, I think we're all, again, you kind of got to take Dorset on at that price in a two-year-old race around Goodwood, I think. So, Laureate Crown for me, Keels.
Yeah, humidity, but, you know, no confidence.
No, fair enough. Tom?
Well, I think it's a really hard race. You can make a case for loads of them. I was going to tip Andav. I didn't tip anything in the end, but I think Zavatiri might turn out to be a bigger price than he should be.
Okay, lovely stuff. As for Dorset, terrible odds, says David Foster, but Darren Walker's on Antipost at 6-1, so fair play to you. 6-1 would be nice. And Morris Dancer for Destiny Sounds at 20-1. Each way banker out of Palace, Pierre John Gosden. Knows something with Will Buick in the saddle. Okay, there you go. And let's move on then to the Lennox Stakes. Another 7-furlong race here for vastly more experienced horses, or, you know, a few of them. One of them probably more experienced than the rest of the field combined. Jonquil is 5-2 favourite, though, here for this this Group 2 contest. But everyone's favourite 8-year-old, it's Kinross at 7-2 next in. Audience at 9-2, Lake Forest 7-1, Noble Champion 7-1, 10 Bob Tony is 14s, Witness Stand 16-1, Iberian 20s, and you've also got Kinault, Alienabi, Nostrum, and Intrusively in here. And again, a race that is an absolute nightmare to watch when you bet one in this, because it is never, ever, ever a dull race, 7 furlongs around Goodwood. Kinross has won from box 1, he's won from box 13, he was giving weight away last time out, he's not got the penalty this time around, it's his favourite race. But there's loads in here, Keels. It's a cracker of a field, I thought.
Yeah, it's an absolute cracker of a field. I think it's absolutely wide open. There's plenty in here that have got good chances on their best form, but with something to prove.
Yeah.
I think Jonquil's a terrible price. Seems to have been well backed, and he might well be back to the form he was when he was second in the French Guineas. But even if he didn't enjoy 6 furlongs last time, he shouldn't have been that bad. Mm. He was awful. So I wouldn't be entertaining him at all at 11-4.
Well, the only thing I would say that is that suddenly the Commonwealth Cup started to look like a very good race, weirdly.
Yeah, but how many did he beat? One?
No, he finished 13th of 21.
Oh, right, sorry, yeah, 13th, sorry.
But to be fair, everything that behind
it was
him... It was Babusha with it. It was the other German horse that finished the beat one.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. But irrespective of that, it was a terrible run.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. So I couldn't be touching him at 11-4. He might be better for that. I mean, Kinross is your solid one, isn't he? Form figures in this race of 1-2, 1-3. He's been unlucky as well as having won it and got it. Mm. Audience is being priced up from what he'd done a year ago. And he hasn't run a figure to get him in the first 6 since. So how do you back him at 11-2? I couldn't touch him. You can go down, you can make cases for loads, you can see the case for the Jersey winner, Noble Champion, and for Lake Forest bouncing back to form, although he needs to. And I thought to myself, why not have a little bash at something at a much, much bigger price? And I came down on the side of Iberian. Purely because I don't think he's a sprinter, although they've tried to turn him into a sprinter. And when there was a bit of a cut in the ground and it was a stiffish 6 furlongs at Doncaster because of it, he ran really, really well when only just failing to beat Spycatcher. And, you know, if he'd had a bit more about him and hadn't wandered about a bit, he would have won, wouldn't he? Yeah. His next run, he missed the break completely at the cover. And then, you know, it wasn't disgrace when fifth in the Jubilee, but it's just too quick for him. So why not have another go at 7 furlongs? I mean, as a 2-year-old, he was second to Heart M here in the Vintage Stakes.
Well, again, what price? I mean, Artem would be single figures for this.
Yeah, absolutely. And then of course, he won the Champagne Stakes at Doncaster. Mm. Again, 7 furlongs. So maybe that's the trip he wants. Who knows whether he's actually going to be good enough. He does have a fair bit to find, but I think there's still a bit more about him. And I think this might be his best trip. And I just thought, you know, obviously we've got extra prices. I'll have a couple of quid each round him at a price.
Okay. Yeah, Iberian, currently a 20-1 shot. Again, course form as well for Charlie Hills and Billy Lothnane. Again, sounds like someone in the chat, but I quite like 10 Bob Tony. As soon as he beat Kinross last time out, Will Buick in the saddle that day as well. And he travelled like the wrath of God and he found tons of pressure. It was that day where Ed Walker had, I think he had like 5 winners and loads of other plays as well. And I don't know, he just looks like a very, very good horse. He had some good form over 7 last year as a 3-year-old. Ed Walker, again, is in absolutely cracking.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the other reason I wanted to go for an outsider with this race is I wanted to go for a closer. There's loads of pace in this race.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing that worries me that, you know, there were so many that might... I mean, sometimes when you think about this, one of them gets away with it.
Yeah.
Because wasn't that what happened with Audience last year?
With Audience, exactly, yeah. Like, and then suddenly they smashed him.
But then they'll remember that happened last year.
Yeah.
And so maybe they'll go too fast.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you're right. Then there's a possibility that 10 Bob Tony is one of those slightly key goers.
You know, there are plenty that want to go forward.
Yeah. I like the way you went about things. And Ed Walker and Will Buick again. Ed Walker having a good season, and Buick is a master round here. John Quill, the favourite here then for the Lennox, Tom. 3-year-old, there's only one winner in the past 10 years. That was Sondrine, but to be fair, she should have got beaten by Kim Ross on that occasion. So what do you make of it?
I like Keels, didn't like John Quill. No excuses for last time. Don't care what anyone says. It's 1 furlong, it's 200 yards, and he was hopeless. Audience, how can you back him on what he's done this year? Lake Forest was last at York last time. So there's 3 at the top of the market, which it just doesn't suit me. All of them have got form that give them a very good chance of winning, but all of them have shown nothing, ran badly last time. So that's not, they're out for me. Kinross is an 8-year-old. We all know what we all think of Kinross, love him to win. But he's an 8-year-old and he's not getting any better. He won't be getting any better. So he was out. I did look at 10 Bob Tony. I definitely looked at Iberian. Iberian has cost me a fortune over the years. I backed him at Doncaster on his comeback. I backed him in the Guineas. I backed him a few times back. And he definitely has the ability to be it, but I'm not the figure. I couldn't go in again. Do you know what I mean? So it'll probably be this is the time that he goes in and Keels will be laughing at me and everything like that. But I thought Noble Champion had a good chance. Now, Ed Walker has a terrible record at Goodwood. He has a terrible record at Epsom. He has a terrible record at Chester. And maybe those sort of weird tracks don't suit his horses. And Noble Champion he didn't run brilliantly behind Amilok here earlier in the season. But I thought he was just about the most impressive winner of the whole week in the Jersey Stakes last time. He chased a fast pace. Behind him were Comanche Brave, who'd finished further of the same distance behind Field of Gold in the Guineas and has won since. Behind him was Ramuz. They were all drawn in the same place as him. There was no excuse that he didn't have a draw advantage at all. In fact, all the good horses were drawn where he was, and they've all come out and run well since. Spy Chief, who was second, was beaten less distance in the July Cup. I just think the form is red hot. The time was red hot. He's top on top speed, I think, for this race against all those horses that have run millions of times before, and he's had run about 6. So I just thought, if he handled the track, he's going to go well, because the one thing he got at Ascot last time was a strong pace. First time in his career, he's had 7 furlongs and a strong pace, and he's going to get that. I am very worried about the track. I am, because Ed Walker's horses tends not to run so well at Goodwood for some reason. But
I would also say that he just seems a different trainer a bit this year as well, doesn't he, Ed Walker? So he's
could be, but I'm you know, certain trainers do well at certain tracks. It's just the way they. I don't know. I do trainer form at tracks or whatever it's called. Now, trainers for courses is something I quite like.
Yeah.
Over the years, Ed Walker hasn't done it at Goodwood. He's got like 10% strike rate or something, and he's had lots of runners here because he doesn't train far from here. So that worries me, but I love the horse. I thought he was super impressive. And if there's one horse that could end up running in Group 1s, it's him. And after he won, well, they could all end up running in Group 1s, but be a really good Group 1 horse, I think he could be the one. But after he won at Ascot, he said he hasn't had a horse work like him in his yard ever. And I just think he could be a very good horse. He's bred to be a good horse. He looked a very good horse. And the thing about him, he's a decent price. I wasn't expecting him to be that price. After Ascot, I thought he'd be half the price he is.
I think that just tells you how, again, I do think the depth of the race, in the sense of, not necessarily depth as in they're all superstars, but depth as in the past 12 months, every horse on that screen has at least one run where you think, crikey, that is more than comfortably enough, good enough to win this race. So, and again, the Goodwood factor where anything can happen. On the chats, Paul Tolliver, Ed Walker, last 5 years, 10 from 94. Yeah, so like you said, we're talking about roughly about a 10% strike rate. Hard to knock Noble Champion, although I like Witness Box, says Basil Pinenuts. I think he means Witness Stand. To be fair,
Witness Box wouldn't win this. He was a 3 miler, wasn't he, or a 2.5 miler?
Yeah, he's running at Galway, I think. But that's the Laddock Stakes then. Feature of day one for Glorious Goodwood is the Goodwood Cup, and we have a lineup that befits the feature with another old favourite, even the outsider Trushan at 40-1 will still have his supporters at a track where he's carried all before them in the past. But it's New Kid on the Block, Illinois at 6-4, Scandinavian 9-4, French Master 5-1, Sweet William 9-1, Sunway 12s, Military Academy 20s, Dubai Future at 33s, and the outsider is Trushan. So we've got dead eight runners, which is nice. If you want to take on Illinois, you could probably, assuming you don't fancy Scandinavia, get your money back at the very least if you fancy finishes in the three. And Illinois, 2.5 miles last time out, Tom. Clearly stretched him. I can't remember if it was Keels. I was watching it with somebody. It might have been Robbie or whoever it was. We were watching the race and we said, oh, crikey, Illinois travelling well. And this was at about the 2 furlong pole. And I think my words were, but we don't know if he gets home yet. And Trawlerman got home better than him on that occasion. But at the 2 mile mark, he was still absolutely swinging along. So what do you make of him? Is he the new kid on the block, or is he just a very naughty boy, to butcher a famous film quote?
I think this, I mean, I've butchered a few Goodwood races in my time, but this is an absolute crackerjack of a race, isn't it? I love staying races, and this is a brilliant one. You know, you can give me this every day of the month over any sprint ever in the history of sprints. I mean, they are so boring, but this is a proper race. So many sort of angles you can go into it. Is Illinois the real deal? Scandinavia looked something extraordinary at Newmarket last time, the way he powered clear. French Master, is he going to take the step up in class? He did incredibly well to win at Ascot last time. William, you know, is he going to go past Sunway up? You could go on and on forever. I really, 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 this is the race I'm looking forward to most of the week, and it's not even close. I think, I haven't had a bet in it. I think Scandinavia might just win it, getting the stone from the older horses, because I was so impressed with how he powered clear at Newmarket last time. But I wouldn't put it past French Master running a big race. I just think he's probably a little bit too short. I could see him drifting because he's got a lot to find on figures and only won a handicap last time. But I was really impressed with his finishing effort at Ascot. Illinois could easily win too. I'm just really looking forward to it. I don't know what's going to win. I'm hoping Scandinavia's going to win, but what a race.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And I get the feeling it's going to be... It's given me similar feels to 2022, where it was Kypriot, Stradivarius, Trushan, Coltrane. And you remember, I think it was about the 2 furlong pole. It was kind of like you look left, you saw one horse. You look right, you saw another horse. And then there was Kypriot down the middle.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's going to be the same again this time around. Scandinavia's a funny one. I mean, I don't know. Everyone's looking at him thinking, oh, well, Stradivarius did it. He's the next Stradivarius. But then, you know, Santiago won the Irish Derby and got battered here a couple of seasons ago. So, and I don't know, that Newmarket...
Yeah, I don't think there's any.
I've changed my mind completely about that Newmarket race. Weirdly,
I don't think there's any doubt that Scandinavia will stay, though. I mean,
that's true. Yeah,
like, you know, that's where I'm going with it. I mean, he was. I mean, of all the horses that could have been backed, it has been him. He was 4-1 when the decks came out, and he's top price 5-2. I think he is now. So, and you can see why it was you know, an amazing run in those first time cheek pieces, just to go powering away, and he is getting loads of weight. Ryan Moore has still chosen or been told to ride Illinois, so and you can understand that. But look, you see the odds there: 6-4 Illinois, 40-1 Trushan, 33-1 Dubai Future. If on official figures, there's £2 between Illinois and those two, In fact, there's two powder between six of them.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So, you know, on paper at least, it is way more competitive than that market suggests it is. It doesn't mean Illinois won't win, because he might well be the coming force at 2 mile and just not stay. But what if he just wasn't good enough? And as good as he is a 7-length second at Trawlerman. Because that's what the form says he is.
Yeah.
Doesn't make him a great deal better than any of these.
No. I mean, he was 11 lengths clear of Sweet William.
Yeah, Sweet William definitely doesn't get a 2.5 mile, though, and he's good here.
No, that's true. But he was, and then 17 lengths clear of Coltrane.
Who's gone at the game, to be fair?
Well, he won next time out.
Yeah, I know he won. Yeah, we won a Mickey Mouse race. His favourite standout.
But the year before, Sweet William was 6 lengths behind Kyprios, and Coltrane was 11 lengths behind Kyprios. So those two, I know again that you can't compare the different races, different horses, and everything. I just mean there were some solid horses beaten.
I understand that. Fine. It was just one of those, you know, it was a race that was jumps distances,
yeah,
wasn't it? So a lot of horses have just run way below form.
Yeah.
Or Trawler Man at the age of whatever he is now is an absolute superstar, yeah, which isn't the case.
Yeah.
So loads of horses just ran way below form for whatever reason. It was extremely fast ground at Ascot, remember?
It was. Yeah, so, 2.5 miles, and also running at sort of full pelt as well, because, you know, Trawler Man, he made it a test.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
That's the key, isn't it?
He made it a proper test on extremely fast ground.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, that is... So,
and therefore, distances got exaggerated, didn't they? Beaten distances got exaggerated because he made it an absolute all-and-out war. And so those horses just folded, didn't they, in the final...
So he broke a lot of horses there. But, you know, I don't think you can rule that many out. Sunway was only beaten 11¾ by Jan Brugel in the Ledger.
Yeah.
This is his first go at a cup distance. The trainer's taken him down to Goodwood to have a look at the track, so he must be half thinking he's going to run well, and he did run well in the Hardwick. Was only beaten 4 and a bit lengths. That's a nice piece of form if he stays.
And we know how much, David Manute has had a weird year, but he loves Sandown and he loves Goodwood.
Yeah.
To be fair, it's about 30 yards from his training centre.
That's true. I'm not saying
to be fair, if I had a top,
I'm not saying he had to load him in a box and take him 400 mile, but he's actually taken him to the track to work him on. My suggestion would be French Master, because I was very impressed with him at Ascot, just the way he picked up, but I fear Scandinavia. I give Sweet William Sunway a chance, even Dubai Future on his best form. I know he's 9 years old, but I think he'll run well. I may end up having a tiny little place lay of Illinois, just on the grounds that it's way more competitive than it those odds suggest.
He'll finish third then. He feels like
I do that. I get greedy as well. I'll do 4 places.
Exactly. Hoping for the bomb out, but he'll scrape home.
Yeah, I do try to, you know, I can lay like 103 chances and stuff like that.
I don't think that's
for a few quid, why not?
Yeah.
Like, you know, but I do think it's a much tougher race on paper than the odds suggest.
I mean, I agree. The horse that interests me the most, and the problem is Scandinavia. Well, not problem, it's actually quite good, but all the hype and the talk has turned towards Scandinavia.
Mm.
But before Scandinavia was going to be running in this, everyone was saying, I can't wait to see a French Masters as good as he looked at Ascot and taking on Illinois.
Yeah.
And now suddenly French Masters 5-1 in an 8-runner race for the Gosdens after... I mean, again, I was not against him in Ascot, but again, he was a short prize. He's a quirky horse with blinkers on. And he murdered them.
Yeah, I was massively against him. So I was like, I've got to take on this lunatic.
Yeah.
You know, this is the race why I had second, third, fourth and fifth in the tri-cast.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? So I've got every reason to hate the horse, but I mean, I just think there was a lot of reasons to love him afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
Fair enough. Let's have a look. What have we got? Scandinavia receiving a stone. French Master step up handicap, Stephen. And I think Illinois will win, says Ian Sunderland. Thank you very much. Okay, right. We're going to have to rattle through the next few then, but they shouldn't take too long because, I'm sure Kiehl's will have a few angles, but if you get to the 3:45 and you think, okay, I'm going to end day one on a high, it might be quite tough. We've got a new 5-furlong sprint handicap on the card. Tom, great news. 9-2 Red Orange, 5-1 Adrestia, Shagrad 7s, Jacajaro 8s, Enchanting 12s, Misattitude 12s, Rocking Ends 12s and 14s Bar. It's just what the Tom Siegel ordered, a new 22-runner 5-furlong handicap on the card. 60 seconds, Tom Siegel, give us the winner, take it away.
Funnily enough, I quite like the race because I didn't know half the horses down the bottom. I thought it was incredibly top heavy. I thought unsurprisingly, the three at the top of the market were the three I fancied, funnily enough. And I think Red Orange is going to win because I think he was incredibly unlucky at Royal Ascot. I think he was incredibly unlucky at Ascot next time. I think he can turn the tables on Adrestia. And I also think Shagran's dangerous too, but and I wouldn't be surprised if Adrestia win. But I think I couldn't see a case for half of them down the bottom. That probably because I'm not a great sprint handicap enthusiast, but to me, it's all about Red Orange. I think he's going to win.
Okay. Red Orange then 9-2, who ran a blinder at Ascot in his penultimate start and had no chance from his box last time out. Okay, he's a 9-2 shot. So what do you like, Keels?
I can see Tom's case for that. I've backed Shagran. Is one of them. I just think he's one of those solid horses who just runs really well whenever he runs, doesn't he? Won the 3-year-old handicap on this meeting last year. He's run four times this year. He's won his eyeballs out every single time. Probably the best one was when a close fourth to American Affair at York with JM Jungle in second. I mean, that couldn't be stronger handicap form, could it? And he passed a lot of horses. He came from last to finish third in the Group 3 Coral Charge at Sandown on Eclipse Day. And, you know, he ran past a lot of horses that were rated higher than him. And he strikes me as a horse that's going to have another burst of improvement in the latter half of the season. So he was the one that interested me. And one at a price from the bottom is a horse called Mon La Sleeve, who I do believe is better than his mark if he wants to be. I think he's a little bit in and out, and he was tailed off last time having got upset in the stalls. But I think he likes a speed track.
I mean, you're talking about place leads. I mean, he's run 20 times, he's won three times, and he's not been placed at all if he doesn't win. So, if you're going to back him to win, a late place.
And he's only won in small fields, but he was only just behind Shagran at York.
Yeah.
And that race. I think he likes a speed track. He's never been to Goodwood. He's drawn in 21, so if they want to come across and get the rail, he'll be one of the fastest ones away. I thought he might run well at a price with Billy Knocklane in the saddle.
Well, that's the upside for him, isn't it? 21. If he likes small fields, he likes being on his own, he can get that rail.
Come over here and get that rail and see whether it's the right place to be.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I think I probably have to give Adrestia another chance because we were all over at Ascot, weren't we? And again.
Yeah, absolutely. And she ran a cracker in that Sandown race, but I mean, Shagran did pick her up.
Yeah.
And he is 3 points longer, which.
Yeah, fair.
You know, just doesn't make sense, does it?
No, true.
Horses, sprinters can improve at any age, can't they? So.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
There's no reason why he can't.
Yeah, and it is very early days. In fact, I thought it was a slightly odd move last time to go off that mark straight into Group 3 company. But anyway. Two more races to come on day one of Glorious Goodwood. But we just had the big race of the night at Galway. Who won the 640, Tom?
No idea.
No, we know? I don't know. It seems like the kind of race you might have put one up in, but maybe not.
No.
Anyway,
no.
David Jennings is going to be looking at a Galway for us. So never mind that Tom doesn't know. So let's see what DJ makes of tomorrow.
Hi guys, David Jennings here, and I'm going to give you the lowdown on day two at Galway, where the feature race is the Colm Quinn BMW Mile Handicap. It's at 6:40. I like one in this, and I'm placing a lot of faith on Tuesday evening in Jessica Harrington because I like Norwalk Havoc here, who must have a cracking chance off a mark of 102. Ran in the race last year, ran a cracker, finished second, back again now, and I would say this has been the plan for quite some time. Was only beaten a neck in the race last year, off mark of 99, up a couple of pounds higher now, but had a lovely pipe opener on the flat and a really good Group 3 at Leopardstown. And I would say Jessica Harrington has had a big circle around July 29 for quite some time, so I'm very keen on Norwalk Havoc in that feature race at 6:40. And keeping on the Harrington team, I like Denon now in the 6:07, the filly's maiden. All the money will probably come for Amelia Earhart, who was very eye-catching on debut, but Denon now was ahead of Amelia Earhart, and I think there could be just as much improvement to come from Denon now in that 6:07. And keeping with the Harrington team in the 7:15, I like Collecting Coin here. He's got two good runs to his name. It doesn't look a vintage maiden. It's for three-year-old and olders over 7 furlongs, and I thought Collecting Coin on the back of those two pretty decent runs could take that 7:15. So I'm hoping for a Jessica Harrington hat-trick at Galway. And just in the opener, one at a bit of a price, Willie Mullins and Paul Townend have the favourite in Le Notre Vertre. But I like the second string, Cisco, who I think will be much better over the shorter trip with more pace in the race for Danny Mullins. And we do know Danny does ride an odd winner when he's not on the favourite one. So those are my four for Galway on Tuesday.
There you go. Thank you, Mr. Jennings. Hoping that, well, all hopes on Jessica Harrington. By the sounds of things on day two over at Galway. Right, two more races at Glorious Goodwood. A filly's handicap over a mile. I was going to say for the three-year-old. I mean, it has been. Every single renewal of this has been won by a three-year-old. And then you scroll down and there are some 4-year-olds and even a 6-year-old in cracking form in this. But unsurprisingly, the market is dominated by the classic generation. It's Dash of Azure at the head of the betting for 3 at 3-1 for the year. The Beckett team, 4-1 Zagata, Mara's Love 9-2, Protest 5, Zafire 9s, Rumba Number is 11-1, Blessed Star is 14s, Tundra Rose 16-1, and bigger prices. The rest has been dominated by 3-year-olds, Keels, and you're taking one from the 3-year-old generation and one from the older fillies.
Yeah, one from the older fillies. Yeah, I've backed two outsiders basically. I think. I think you can make a case for loads in this race, and you know the short ones were just a little bit too short, so I thought I'd have a pop. One of the ones I backed, I actually backed it at 10-1 this morning. It's gone out to 16s already. Tundra Rose of David O'Mara's. Now she had some decent form last year. She looked extremely green. Mm. On a third start, she finished third in a listed race at Newmarket behind Smokin', and Protest was fourth. Protest is 5-1 for this race. She's 16s. Yeah, she didn't run that well on her return at Sandown, but she was. Again, a monster drifter that day and looked badly in need of a run. She flopped out of the stall. She was 4 lengths last straight away. And she wasn't beaten that far. She got an RPR of 92, which is bang in line with her handicap mark. She's entitled to come on for the run. Trainer was quite positive about her in a stable too early in the season. Said he'd hoped to be able to win a stakes race with her. So I give her another chance at a price, dropping into a valuable handicap for the first time, and then at a much bigger price. Atlantis Blue for George Baker, who's very much in form. Now she's a bit of a quirky sort, but she has won three of her starts, and last year she won two on the spin for Jim Crowley, winning by 4.5 lengths, and basically the best form that she's ever run is pretty much all with Jim Crowley in the saddle. She's got 3 wins, 2/4. One of those fourths, the blindfold came off too late, and she was a fast finishing fourth that day at Sandown. And last time she absolutely gagged up at Lingfield off a strong gallop, which I'm hoping that she'll get here. Yes, it was only off a mark of 69. She's got an awful lot more to do now. But she is a strong traveller and she does find a bit. And if the less exposed ones don't come up to scratch, I think she'll run a big race at a price.
All right. Couple against the field then, far over Keels. What about you, Tom?
Not a race, not a price-wise race this. The last two on telly, so I don't do them. But being the professional that I am, Ross, I had a very good look at this race. I thought Zagata had a chance, but she's a bit of a short price. Ran well on the wrong side in the Sandringham. I was well backed that day. 15-2, I thought she was really well backed. I think she's probably a little bit better than she showed. But I was at Sandown the other day, and Tundra Rose did run very well in that. She was second last, but she finished well. And I don't know. I'm with Keels. I think she could outrun her price a bit. She was 40-1 that day. She's got cheap pieces on for the first time. Maybe she's, you know, this is the race Keels finds winners in races like this. So maybe Tundra Rose, but I do think Zagata's the one to beat.
Okay. And again, I thought the Varian pair had a chance as well, but that Rumba Number ran into a horse called Big Leader, whose form's working out very well. He runs possibly at the weekend, and Protest wasn't far behind Crimson Advocate at Goodwood back in May, and is here in handicap of 92. But yeah, it's a tough penultimate race. The last race there was a 14 run at 6 furlong at handicap. So let's have a quick look at that. Dubai Treasure is 5-2. See Emily Run is 11-2. Woodhay Wonder 6s. Havana 8s. 10-1 bar those. And this race last year was won by Kit Eye from Box 8 from McAppleby. Came and bagged this near side rail and made all the running. Favourites, or the ones at the top of the betting this year, they're drawn 2, 5, and 7. It'll be interesting to see if they do a similar thing or the opposite. In fact, Woodhay Wonder's drawn 3. So yeah, there's a lot of low-drawn horses at the top of the betting here. But to be fair, I've just set you up for a 4 there, Kills, because you fancy one of the low-drawn ones.
Oh, I do, yeah, Woodhay Wonder. She hasn't been ridden by Tom Marcond at all this season, but last year he rode her 4 times. He won twice at Newmarket early in the season, then finished 4th in the Palace of Holyrood House off a mark of 98, 3rd to Al Bashir later on at Ascot off a mark of 99, beating only half a length. back down to 94 against her own sex, and he's back on board. Last two runs have been pretty poor, it has to be said, although she was never put into the race last a couple of weeks ago at Ascot. Even on her third and eighth, when only beating 2.5 lengths to More Thunder early in the season, she'd win this off a mark of 94. And, you know, a lot of her good form is at Newmarket, which is largely downhill. I'll give her a right chance with Tom back in the saddle.
OK, well, handicap Woodhay Wonder then is a 6-1 shot. Again, plenty in here. See Emily Run, beat some good horses last time out. And again, we're talking about the Quins in sprints, Easy Peeler. I think has still got more to offer. I'm not sure she's particularly been in the best position on the last couple of starts. But yeah, this is not an easy race to peel, as it were, Tom. Anything in the last for you?
Not really. I thought Dubai Treasure travelled like a really good horse. Cyvin Soror's an amazing trainer, isn't he? Mm. You seem to forget about him. Everyone's sort of he turned into sort of a bit of a poking fun type guy. But every time I look up, he's having another big winner. Germany on Saturday. Do you know what I mean? A Group One. Dubai Treasure was travelled really, really strongly at York last time, didn't she? Back to six, I think, will suit her. She could be a proper classy filly against this lot. However, she's 5-2, and that's plenty short enough dropping back in trim. I thought, of those at a price, the old boy, the old girl, Stink Verde, might go well for Tony Carroll. She ran here a couple of starts ago behind Enchanting. She was well beaten, but I thought she ran really well. She's just the type of horse that could run well at a price.
Okay, thank you very much. Quick shout out for the chat. Rod Panhard says Woodhay Wonder's getting very well back. Shallow looks interesting for Mike Boy. And Tuco Benedicto Pacifico. Juan Maria Ramirez says Ross Buick has got some decent rides for Goslin tomorrow with all decent prices and is on all those. Thank you, Tuco Benedicto Pacifico. Juan Maria Ramirez. appreciate you getting in touch and using up all the characters you could on that screen name. Right, Glorious Goodwood on the way. Day one, best bets. Paul Keeley.
I'm going to go Woodhay Wonder in the last.
All right, save the best to the last. Tom Siegel.
The one I fancy most is Norwalk Havoc at Galway, but I'm going to back Red Orange in the sprint.
Okay, fair enough. I'll go for old 10 Bob Tony in the Lennox Stakes then for Walker and Buick. What do you like? Put it in the comments below and best of luck on day one of Glorious Goodwood. That's the racing chat done. Here's a quick ad and then we'll be looking ahead to the football, but not with Paul Keeley, thank God.
I don't think we've had a title race as wide open as this.
You know, when they sign this striker, everything's going to be okay. And I'm not convinced.
I actually felt, though, that they took a step backwards last season.
They were impossibly bad last season. It was like there's a floor of where Man United, that this squad should be, and the new coach couldn't even reach that floor.
If you spend that amount of money, you are going to end up with a half-decent team. And I think they are making significant progress.
But he's still an inch below the real top bracket for me. I'm not so sure this year every house is in order. I look at West Ham under Potter and I see problems.
Yeah, the favourites have had a fantastic record in this heat in recent seasons. I don't know if it's like the Grand National that the fences have got smaller and smaller. But
there you go, then, the big kickoff available now. There's also that full length preview going live on YouTube, in 60 seconds, I think, but a bit of a sneak preview. You've been hanging around for especially for this, Mark Langdon, so thank you for coming on.
No worries.
I say especially, you've got loads going on today, obviously.
Yeah, it's been a busy weekend. Oasis on Friday night, and then getting that big kickoff done for the weekend, then doing the videos earlier on today. So I'll sleep well.
Yeah, it's the 28th of July. The club, obviously, the Lionesses won last night. The Club World Cup ended about 48 hours ago, it feels as well. It feels like we haven't had a break from football. Are you refreshed and ready?
Oh, yeah. I don't like all this moaning about a packed calendar. Just get on with it. It's only football at the end of the day.
Yep.
And I think we've got a really exciting Premier League title race coming up. I can't think of the last time where there were three real genuine contenders in Liverpool, Arsenal and Man City. And then you've got Chelsea,
the best team in the world, Mark.
Yeah, in inverted commas, the best team in the world. But they've been a big old gamble on them. They were 18-1 before the Club World Cup. They're into single figures now. So you could have like genuinely four teams that think they could win the Premier League.
We talked last season about Liverpool's succession planning in terms of the manager. I've not seen a closed season in terms of succession planning for, you know, a team winning the league and going, there ain't no laurels to be rested on. They not only have strengthened the position they need to strengthen, they, you know, Diaz is out. They seem to be preparing for Salah going. Trent's gone as well. It is, they've bought some crackers.
They have bought some, you know, some real star players. I think Wirtz, you know, well, you'd expect for over 100 million him to, yeah, you know, do the business. I like Ekitike as well. I agree with you though that it's unusual for a team that's just won the league to change so much so quickly.
Now, do you think they might take a while to bed in again?
I think that maybe last season everything fell nicely for them. Arsenal had their injuries. City, I didn't expect City's drop-off to be so dramatic. And so I actually think they've done the right thing, because I don't feel they was maybe as far ahead of the pack as what the league table suggested. And, you know, they're very shrewd, the Liverpool backroom staff. You've got Edwards and Richard Hughes that do a lot of the work in the background. I think they realised as well, actually, that it wasn't a stroll. It won't be a stroll this season coming. So they've done the right thing. I just think it might be close enough to suggest that I'm not backing the favourites.
All right, a few quick fire questions then for you. Pep, bad season or mentally gone at the game?
Just one bad season.
Yeah?
Yeah, I can't have this idea that, you know, Pep's completely gone at the game. You know, he still finished third and they reached an FA Cup final, and that was his worst season ever. And so, come on, let's give him at least one more year before we call him the bald fraud again.
I hate saying his name out loud, but Victor Gyökeres. How are we saying it?
Gyökeres.
Gyökeres. I feel the face helps. Season after season, Arsenal would win the league if they buy someone who can actually score goals up front. Is this the final piece of the puzzle?
I'm not sure that it is, and there's two reasons why. One is that Gyökeres, actually, this will be the highest level he's ever played at, and so there has to be a doubt there. Don't clip that up when he's got 30 goals by March. But the other question mark I've got is that I've heard this before about Chelsea. How many times have Chelsea bought the striker, Torres, Shevchenko, Lukaku? Oh, it's the final piece of the jigsaw, and then something else breaks within that jigsaw, and just slotting a striker in is never just as simple, or rarely as simple, as just buying one player and everything else works. They might bring in the striker and then something else breaks around it. So I'm not saying he'll be useless, Gyökeres. I'm just saying if football was that easy, Arsenal would have solved this problem sort of 12 months ago.
And what's the curveball? Who or what team are the curveball this year, whether it's dropping out of the conversation or inserting themselves back in?
Well, I think the biggest one could be Newcastle. Now, this was a team that was full favourites for the league when the prices first came out. They've had a terrible summer. Every player they've gone for, apart from Elanga, they've missed out on. Star striker Isak wants to move probably to Liverpool. So Eddie Howe has got an enormous job on his hands. I think they're the sort of team, if everything goes right for them between now and the end of the transfer window, could finish fifth. But last time they were in the Champions League, complete collapse from them and had a shocking season. They're in the Champions League again. If things go badly, I just wonder if they might have a big drop off.
Brighton. Last year, they spent a lot of money, a lot of young players, still figuring it out. To me, they're the unexposed type,
yeah,
as it were.
Yeah, so when I was reading through the big kickoff over the weekend, sort of checking the proofs and sort of giving them the final tick, I was really surprised where we had Brighton. Sixth, I don't mind giving that one away. I wouldn't have them that high. Not to say that I think that my team have got it completely wrong, but I think they might have it wrong in going for, in going for
you
sixth.
You are saying that, Mark. That's exactly what I'm saying.
I would be surprised if they finish sixth, but I respect them.
I quite fancy because I think they overperformed. I felt like they were the one team last year, again, from taking a horse racing view of it, of you are young, unexposed, inexperienced, and you're putting it up with the big boys, and therefore next year maybe it's your time.
Yeah,
but I
don't agree.
You fancy Amorim to figure it out, don't you?
I wouldn't go that far. I think United. Well, I'm going to go. United will be better, but they can't be any worse. They're a difficult team.
Not going to get relegated.
They're a difficult team to weigh up, I think, Manchester United, because they spend so much money. They should be better. There's another United I like the look of, though. I think Leeds will stay up. There's been this big doom and gloom around championship teams. They're always getting relegated. Mm. It's only the last two seasons. You can't just suddenly just say we've got a trend that's going to last forever.
Yeah.
Leeds were a very good team in the championship last year. I think they'll stay up. I also like them to be the top promoted club.
My wife and in-laws are all Burnley fans. What we thinking?
Yeah, bottom. Yeah, yeah.
Great, lovely stuff. Right, yeah, I was going to invite you around for a cup of Mark, but no.
There we
genuinely?
Go. Yeah, no, I genuinely think they'll finish bottom. Look, I've already said I think that Leeds are going to sort of be okay in the Premier League. Sunderland are having a good old go at it and have got a lot of young, unexposed players as well that could be anything. We're going to do another racing cliche there. Whereas I think Burnley, we kind of know what they are. They kept a lot of clean sheets in the Championship last season. The goalkeeper looks like he's going to Man City, Trafford. Scott Parker has struggled when he's been in the Premier League previously. And they just look like a team that just hasn't got... I'm struggling to see where the goals are going to come from. And I don't think you can just sort of nil-nil your way through the Premier League because I just think the attackers are just too good.
Yes or no, West Ham relegated?
Yes.
Yeah. Fair enough. Let's have a look. What have we got? Quick on the chat. Best bet is Everton for the top six finished, says Wee Fat Shug. Brentford and my team Rotherham to get relegated, says Rob Dixon. And that's about it, I think. So where do we get the pullout?
Yeah, so unless you're going to get a Racing Post really late tonight, which I'm probably not, head to the Racing Post shop and you can buy it as a newspaper and we'll send it out to you, or you can download it as a PDF.
And the video, which is live now, sponsored by SBK, will be on the YouTube channel?
Yeah, from 7 o'clock tonight. So, yeah, just head over there right about now.
Right. Cheers, mate. Appreciate
Thank
that.
Thank you.
What are we talking about? Glorious Goodwood tomorrow. Yeah. Crikey. It's all going on, isn't it? Thanks to Mark. Thanks to DJ for Galway. Thanks to Keels. Thanks to Tom. Thanks to the producers. Thanks to you. Thanks to everyone. See you same time tomorrow night.